We believe it was a happy Sabbath. Mary Ann doesn't like driving in rain. And all we heard on the radios all week was it would be no rain until Saturday morning. And we did not drive in any rain in Arkansas or here. So we were blessed also. I know the earth needs rain. I'm just glad it didn't rain while we were driving. So we're hoping that it doesn't start on the way home, but it seems a little brighter outside, which is nice. So we are going to pray, and then we want to read a devotional to you and use the devotional as our sermon. So let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the invitation you have given to each and every one of us. And we thank you, Lord, that we accepted the invitation and have come to you. So bless us today as we talk about the invitation of Jesus Christ, what it should mean to each and every one of us. So again, we just thank you for all that's written in the Bible telling us that we need to come to Jesus. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, I hope you all have a devotional in your bulletin. Did anyone not get one? Okay. We're going to go through this devotional. And the title of the devotional is Christ's Invitation. But if you look in your bulletin, you'll find out that my title for my sermon today is Giving Christ's Invitation. Is Christ walking the earth today?
Yes.
Spiritually, but not physically. So, who should give Christ's invitation?
His children, us.
We should. That's right. And that's what we want to talk about today. So we're going to read some Bible text, then the devotional, and then we're going to look through the devotional to see just what it says.
So we want to talk today about the invitation of Jesus Christ to follow him all the way to heaven. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. And it reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But how do the sheep hear his voice? We want to turn to the book of Romans. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. And it reads, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we hear Jesus today speaking by the Bible, the word of God. But what should we do after we hear the word and are following him? Well, we're going to go through the devotional and you'll find the answer to that. There are three texts, Bible texts, at the beginning of this devotional, and we'll read those too. And it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Isaiah 51. Matthew 11:28 reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then our scripture text, Revelation 22:17. "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely."
How many times do you think in the Bible is the word come? Would anyone like to guess? I got my concordance out because of all the comes that we heard today just in these short verses. I thought, I wonder how many there are totally. So I got my concordance out, and the print is about this big, and I opened it to the word come, and there was about a line about this long, And then the next page, my concordance is in three columns. The next page, all three columns were come. And then I turned the page, and the next page was all come. And the page across from it was all come. And I found out by Google that there's 1,911 words come in the Bible. Does that make it an important word? Mm-hmm. Yes, especially when Jesus says it. So you and I want to be a part of Jesus' invitation. Did we want to hear his invitation and come to him? Mm-hmm. Yes. But now Mary Ann's going to share, as we go through these verses and the devotional, she's going to share why it's so important not only to hear, but to say, come.
So we'll begin reading the devotional. It says, Christ will impart to his messengers the same yearning love that he himself has in seeking for the lost. We are not merely to say, come. There are those who hear the call, but their ears are too dull to take in its meaning. Their eyes are too blind to see anything good in store for them. Many realize their great degradation, and they say, I am not fit to be helped. Leave me alone. But the workers must not desist. In tender, pitying love, lay hold of the discouraged and helpless one. Give them your courage, your hope, and your strength. By kindness, compel them to come. In Jude 22:23, it reads, of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These words of comfort were spoken to the multitude that followed Jesus. The Savior had said that only through himself could men receive a knowledge of God. He had spoken of his disciples as the ones to whom a knowledge of heavenly things had been given, but he left none to feel themselves shut out from his care and love. All who labor and are heavy laden may come unto him. Tenderly he bade the toiling people, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. In these words, Christ is speaking to every human being. Whether they know it or not, all are weary and heavy laden. All are weighed down with burdens that only Christ can remove. The heaviest burden that we bear is the burden of sin. If we were left to bear this burden, it would crush us. But the sinless one has taken our place. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has borne the burden of our guilt. He will take the load from our weary shoulders. He will give us rest. The burden of care and sorrow also he will bear. He invites us to cast all our care upon him, for he carries us upon his heart. The elder brother of our race is by the eternal throne. He looks upon every soul who is turning his face towards him as the Savior. He knows by experience what are the weaknesses of humanity, what are our wants, and where lies the strength of our temptations. For he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is watching over you, trembling child of God. Are you tempted? He will deliver. Are you weak? He will strengthen. Are you ignorant? He will enlighten. Are you wounded? He will heal. The Lord telleth the number of the stars, and yet he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalms 147:4-3. Come, unto me is his invitation.
Beautiful devotional, isn't it? If you ever have a chance, it's an old devotional book. Mary Ann gets this out. It's called Day by Day, and the author's name is Wilcox. And it was written back in the 1950s, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's an old book, but if you could ever see one in a secondhand store or you get on Amazon or something, and they would offer it, it would do you good to get it. Because each of the devotions in that book are like this one. They are powerful, powerful, put together thoughts for a devotional. I love it. Mary Ann reads three devotionals to me each morning, and then either two or three each night. And in reading these devotionals, it gives me the thoughts in order to have, I'm hoping, a good sermon. I leave that up to you. But we want to also be able to put a good, good devotional in your hands. And that's why we made copies and put it in your hands, so that you could reread it and maybe find more in it than I found. But we're going to go through it and look at some of the things that are said or the Bible text and see just what it says to you and I. So that's our goal today. We're going to go through it again so you can use your devotional you have and follow along again.
So we're going back to the very first two sentences. So we want to know, who was this written to? And the first sentence says, Christ will impart to his messengers the same yearning love that he himself has in seeking for the lost. We are not merely to say, come.
So who's it written to?
Us.
Us. And you become a messenger. In order to be a messenger, what do you need?
A message.
A message. And that's what we're offering you today. The message to tell someone else to come to Jesus.
So did you think this devotional was about just those who need to hear Christ's invitation? It is, but it starts out by those two small sentences as to who is to give the invitation. If we turn to our scripture, Revelation 22:17, we're going to read it again. And it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Too often we read this fast and we think it's to those that need to come. But what does the very first say? And to those that heareth, say, come. Have you heard Christ's invitation? Then this verse out of the Bible is telling us that if we heard him say, come, we should be out saying, come.
So we're going to repeat the first sentence again. Christ will impart to his messengers the same yearning love that he himself has in seeking for the lost. So we have a couple questions for you. Have you come to Christ?
Have you come to Christ?
Are you one of his messengers?
Are you his messenger today?
Yes. Do you want Jesus living within you?
Yes.
If you do, then do you want him to work through you? He will. He will talk through you. He will work through you, but only if you step out of your comfort zone in faith. Jesus will not force you to come, and he will not force you to go.
Is that true? Will he force you to come? No. It's an offer to your choice. Will he force you to go?
No,
but does he want you to?
Yes.
But it's back to your choice. Brothers and sisters, I want to use a Bible story today. I want to talk about the woman at the well. Do you remember her? What do we find out right away when Jesus asked her for a cup of water? We find out she's prejudiced. She says to Jesus, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water?" Jesus continues with the conversation with her. She brings up the mountains. She does a lot of things. But then Jesus makes a comment to her. "If you would have asked me for water, I would have given you the living water." Does she accept it? Yes, she does. So has she been asked to come? Yes, she has. Then what ends this conversation? She runs in to Samaria and says to the people there, "Come see a man who has told me everything about myself." What has he told her? "You've been married and divorced 5 times, and now you're living with a guy that you're not married to." Very good. Do these people already know that?
Yes.
Yes. Does she care?
No.
No. So she runs into town and uses one of those 1,911 comes, and she says, "Come see a man." Now I want you to see something there. What does that little sentence tell you?
Invitation.
What else?
She believes in him.
She believes in him. Is she prejudiced anymore?
No.
Does she go into town and say, "Come meet a Jew"?
No.
No. She's lost her prejudice. She's found the Messiah. And she's giving her heart to him. And immediately, brothers and sisters, she goes in and invites the town out. Does the town come? Yes. Now, don't miss this. Before we get into the woman at the well, what is the few paragraphs before that story tell you? It tells you that the followers of Jesus went into that same town and brought back only food. Were they giving the invitation of Jesus? Did they still need to learn? Yes. What's amazing about this is the fact, here's a Samaritan woman, here's an offer for the spiritual water, the water of life. She accepts it, believes in it, runs in with her background and says, "Come see, meet a man that told me everything about myself." And they go. How long does Jesus spend with them? The Bible says he spent 2 days with them. And do you know what one of these people comes over and says to the woman at the well? "We came out to meet him because of what you said. But we don't need you now because we've heard him ourselves." Are they accepting Jesus' invitation?
Yes.
Do we need to be like the woman at the well?
Yes.
Yes. Brothers and sisters, we need to forget our water pot, forget what we want to do, and go out and find someone for Jesus. Wouldn't that change our church today?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would it be a good change in us? Yes. So that's where Marianne and I are leaning today. The invitation you received, Christ's invitation. But we are here to say, what would it take for us like the woman at the well, to go in and tell everyone about the man, not the Jew, the man who told her everything about herself and then told her, come. So let's continue.
We're going to continue with Christ's offer, and that's found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. So Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And it reads, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This is the Great Commission. But is it only for ministers and evangelists? No. According to Revelation 22:17, it is talking to those who have heard his voice. Jesus is offering to anyone who would like to use it all the power that you would need to go out and say, come. We're going to read another part of the devotional. It should be the first part. Yes, it's in the middle of the first paragraph. But the workers, it starts with that. But the workers must not desist. In tender, pitying love, lay hold of the discouraged and helpless ones. Give them your courage, your hope, and your strength. By kindness, compel them to come. Whether they know it or not, all are weary and heavy laden. All are weighed down with burdens that only Christ can remove.
Where are you going to get these three things mentioned? What is the first thing mentioned?
Courage.
Your courage. Is it really your courage?
No.
No, it's the courage that Jesus gives you. All power has been given to me, therefore you go. Is he going to give you the strength? Yes, the courage. Yes, the hope. Yes, it's all his. Brothers and sisters, can you go out and give a Bible study? Can it do any good? With the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it was never in me to go out and win someone to Jesus. But when I was asked to go, the pastor that asked me when I first joined this church, he handed me two number one lessons and said, here's an address, go and share these lessons with this man. And I went. Brothers and sisters, did I think I knew the gospel? No. But would Jesus help me?
Amen.
Yes. Did the first person I ever studied with come to Jesus? No. Should I have been discouraged?
No.
No. Why?
Because he promised us he'll be with us.
But because I gave a Bible study. Are you with me? If I can do it to one, could I do it to another?
Absolutely.
Yes. And so that man, though he didn't join the church or even have an interest, I found out he had a background of Seventh-day Adventist. And therefore, he knew what was coming. He let me tell him anyway, and then told me he had no interest. But I found out through this pastor of mine that with a lesson in hand, I can go and share the invitation with someone else. I'm just sharing this with you because at the beginning, it always took a lesson. Do I still give them a lesson? Yes, I do. Why? Because I don't know the gospel? No. I want to leave the gospel with them. If you go and share something out of the Bible with them, you've got it marked in your Bible, and they get out their Bible. when you leave, brothers and sisters, seriously, they won't remember half the text. But if you can give them a good lesson, a good one, and go through it with them, when you leave the lesson. Can they now go through every Bible text you used? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's the best way. The more they go through the lesson, the more they'll know what they studied. So I just want to share with you today, we are to be out giving Christ's invitation. Could the woman at the well give them a Bible study? Yes. No. Come see a man. And they came to Jesus, and Jesus gave them the Bible lesson. If you have trouble giving a Bible lesson, even taking a paper one with you, find someone else to go with you. Would that be a good training course? Yes. Would that put two of you out looking for souls for Jesus? Yes. So don't get discouraged. And that's what this devotional said. It said what? Don't
give them.
No, right in the beginning.
Oh, do not desist.
Do not desist. Do not say, I can't. Now, who do you know that's popular in the Bible that said, I can't?
Aaron.
Aaron?
Moses.
Moses.
Moses said.
When God said, go back to Egypt, did Moses say, I can't speak the language?
Yes.
Was he talking back to God? Mm-hmm. Did God tell him there's no problem there?
Mm-hmm.
I will give you Aaron. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like God is sending them out two by two again.
Mm-hmm.
Did he send his apostles out two by two?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did he send Moses and Aaron together?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Were they to encourage one another?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I just want you to see, don't desist. Don't think of a reason you can't go. Wouldn't you like to see someone come to Christ because you allowed the Holy Spirit to use you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So Christ repeats the invitation, come unto me. We have a couple more Bible texts in the book of Revelation. So we're going to the Revelation 17:1. Revelation 17:1. And it reads, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters.
What is an angel?
Messenger.
A messenger. What does this devotional start out with?
Messengers.
Messengers.
Mm-hmm.
That angel could be you and I. But what is this angel's message? This is hard, brothers and sisters. He's going to give a message about the judgment.
The judgment of the
Lord. Is that important?
Yes.
Yes. Do you and I know what the pre-Advent judgment is?
Mm-hmm.
Who's it for? It's for the angels in heaven. Did you know that? Jesus is up going through the books, and he's looking to see who can be saved. He's blotting out sins. Why do I say it's for the angels? Because in the judgment in heaven, the angels are all there in the sanctuary. Now ask Pastor Dan, how do you know that? Did you know that? Did you know the angels are there with Jesus? Brothers and sisters, go back to the Old Testament. The old is in the new contained, and the new is in the old explained. When Moses made the earthly sanctuary, he was told by God to take gold thread and thread in all those curtains angels. Because the angels were going to have a certain part in the judgment. Why would the angels need to be in the sanctuary in heaven? Because they want to make sure that everyone that is saved is safe to save. Do the angels want sin in heaven ever again? No. The pre-Advent judgment is a judgment finding out if you're safe to save. But the pre-Advent judgment is for the angels. Are you with me? When we go to heaven and are there 1,000 years, what are we going to be doing? We're going to go through the record books and see why those we thought should be saved weren't saved. So who is this judgment for? The saved. The saved. Because will they have questions on why God didn't save some people?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So by going through the book, will all those questions be erased?
Yeah.
Yes. Now he comes down to this earth with the New Jerusalem. And what does Jesus do? He raises the wicked. And they encompass the city. But what happens to the wicked? If you read the spirit of prophecy, they are shown in vision why they didn't make heaven. God wants to know that the angels are happy. He wants to know that the righteous are happy. And he even wants to know that the wicked realize why they didn't make heaven. And then the fire comes down and devours them. Before the judgment is ended, brothers and sisters, everyone is content with God's judgment. And we, according to this, need to be that angel that can understand the judgment enough to go out and explain it to others. Someone might tell you, the judgment, why do I want to know about the judgment? Are they going to be judged?
Yes.
Will the judgment help them know why they need to be right with Christ?
Yeah.
That's why we should know everything that's in the Bible. And if you have trouble, brothers and sisters, start studying. Amen? The next angel.
Revelation 18:4. And it reads, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
So this one is telling them about Babylon. Do you know who Babylon is?
Yes.
I was in Babylon, brothers and sisters, and praise the Lord, I went to a set of meetings put on by this church, not here, but the Adventist church, and I heard the message of Jesus, and I got out of Babylon. Do the people outside these walls have any idea what or who Babylon is?
No.
So should we be giving a message on who makes up Babylon? And then should we make a call to come out? So the first angel talks about what?
Judgment.
Second angel talks about what?
Coming out of Babylon.
Now keep going.
Revelation 22:20.
Now this text is going to mention the word come twice.
Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Who says, I come?
Jesus.
Who says, come, Lord Jesus? Our next study, we should talk about the judgment. Is that a great study?
Yes.
Can be, yes. Then we should tell them about Babylon. Is that a great study?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then invite them to come to Jesus. Because Jesus is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
How long do we have to give these messages?
Not
Not long. Do you believe Jesus is coming soon?
Amen.
Yes. Then study, brothers and sisters, and be ready to invite anyone to come to Jesus. Can we do it at a store?
Sure.
Yep. Yes. Can we do it at a gas station?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Could we do it to people coming out of their church? Can we?
Yes.
Yes. Because Jesus did,
yes.
Didn't he? Yes, he did. So I'm sharing with you today, you have a beautiful devotional on Christ's invitation. And Marianne and I would like to invite you to give Christ's invitation. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be like the woman at the well? How many people did she bring to Christ?
The whole town.
How many people did the apostles bring to Christ? But not that day. No. Were they supposed to go in and be a good witness to the Samaritans? But what did they have that the woman at the well had to begin with? They were prejudiced. Brothers and sisters, don't be prejudiced. And don't worry about what others think. This woman at the well shows me she had a bad reputation. Did she still invite people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She was prejudiced. Was she anymore?
Mm-mm.
No. And do you have any idea why she wasn't prejudiced? Does anybody think about this? Did she bring up the mountains?
Mm-hmm.
It's on this mountain that we worship God. And you Jews worship God on this mountain. What does Jesus say?
There will be no more mountain.
He says, in Dan's English, there are no Jews and there are no Gentiles. He says, I'm telling you, ma'am, there's coming a day where you'll not worship the Father at either of these mountains. Is that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Is it all about the Gentiles?
Mm-mm.
Is it all about the Jews?
Mm-mm.
No, it's about whoever will come when Jesus says, come.
Mm-hmm.
May God bless you to be open to the fact that this devotional you have, you could underline the word messenger and put a little line next to it and say, this is me. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
God bless you as you reach out. You don't have to make up a message. Give them Christ's invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our closing hymn is number 282, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice.